I'm the biggest Rose Namajunas hater that there is, and as much as I want to poo-poo on her, she's a great fighter. I find her to be quite annoying. I think she's fake. I think she puts on a front, and I really, even as a Louisiana guy, I can't stand Pat Barry. That said, she's a great fighter, and I have to give credit where credit's due. Her win over Amanda Ribas at UFC Vegas 89, I think it was, really showed the skills that Rose Namajunas has worked on for the past God knows how long since she's been in the UFC. I mean, think about it, guys. Rose Namajunas has grown up right before our eyes. She made her UFC debut, I'm pulling it up right now, she made her UFC debut at only 2-1. And then it was the Ultimate Fighter she went through. So she loses her UFC debut to Carla Esparza. She goes on to win, lose. You know, she's just become a good fighter. And if you go back and watch those early fights, she wasn't good. Or she was good. Let me rephrase that. She was good. I mean, you know, she notched 3 wins and won. I think she won the Ultimate Fighter. I think that was the finale. Doesn't say. But regardless, she became a good fighter right in front of our eyes. And she did not look like the person that was going to beat Joanna Jędrzejczyk back at UFC 217. What a fight card that was. Instead, she went out there and knocked out Joanna Jędrzejczyk and then beat her in a rematch. Rose Namajunas, quality fighter. Her record does not reflect how good she is. And I think people get the gist of what she brings to the table. She's 12-6. That doesn't sound that impressive, but she's a 2-time champ. She's beat Wiley Zhang twice, Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Jessica Andrade, Michelle Walsh. Just couldn't get over the hill versus Carla Esparza, of all people. Yeah, so Rose Namajunas. We're going to go to Amanda in a second. I keep trying to get ahead of myself. Anyways, I don't think 125 is the division for her. I really don't. Instead, I think 115 is actually her division, and she just doesn't want to cut the weight no more. She's 31 years old. She's on her way out the door, especially these small weight classes. The older you get, old is lower and lower as the weight classes get lower. Her speed's not quite what it used to be, you know, but she's still very good. She looks a little bit slower at 125. I don't know if that's because of the weight, like the change in weight that she has, or if that's because she's just getting older, like I said. But what she does do really well is get by on her skill. So all that time, speaking of, she told Jason Whitman, "You're not in my corner this weekend." I don't know if that's a, hey, I don't trust in you, Pat Barry's telling me stupid stuff, or hey, the Apex really doesn't allow that many corner people for some reason, because we act like we're still COVID, despite being such a anti-company with that, but I'm not going to get into that. But anyway, so all this skill that Rose Namajunas has built up for years with Trevor Whitman really is on show. We saw all that in her fight with Ribas. So first things first, Amanda Ribas is throwing a naked low kick. Both of these fighters switched stances, so it was actually kind of weird to follow where both of them were going into southpaw and orthodox. We had a lot of open side matchup, which is southpaw versus orthodox or vice versa. And we had a lot of closed matchup, southpaw versus southpaw or orthodox versus orthodox. So Ribas wanted to throw that rear leg kick, and she threw some step-up leg kicks too, which is really the way to go when it comes to getting countered with this right cross. But she threw more roundhouse, more rear leg kicks, which would be her back leg, and Namajunas picked up on it and would counter with a right or a left across down the middle. Her power hand would come right down the middle. And that punished Ribas all night to where Amanda Ribas stopped wanting to throw the low kick. You saw as the fight went on, she threw less and less low kicks. So I really like that heads up in this. Like, Rose Namajunas is adjusting on the fly there, so I really like that. Another thing I like from her was her footwork. And this is something that Rose Namajunas has been good with for a long time. She goes in and she exits at an angle. In a sport to where, like WMMA, where they're not as quite technical and they won't follow you around the proper way quite as much, that's a big deal, okay? Because if you can exit at an angle, we even see it in men's MMA. If you can exit at an angle, you are off the center line and you can make sure you don't get hit. a really good person with this, obviously, is Ilya Topuria. He goes in and he leaves at a different angle. So you go in this way and you come out that way. It just gets you off the center line, and it makes sure that you're not there to be punished when you get in and start banging it out, whether it be to the body or to the head. Nama Yunus doesn't hit the body quite as much as she used to in this fight. So, yeah, but she did a lot of exiting at an angle, a lot of stutter-stepping in, a lot of, you know, fluid footwork. That's the things that Rose Nama Yunus does, and we've come to expect that from her. One thing that was done was the top control from Rose Nama Yunus. So when Amanda Ribas would go for this stupid head and arm throw that she always does, Nama Yunus would always find a way to scramble and end up on top. And there, she didn't really punish Ribas, because Amanda Ribas managed to get back into this fight and stay in this fight the whole time. It wasn't like a runaway. But Rose Nama Yunus made sure she controlled the rest of the round, and most of the time, Amanda Ribas had no idea how to get up. So the top control is really the story of this fight. Amanda Ribas isn't a huge 125er. She makes 115 routinely. She's ranked in that weight class at number 8, made a big deal about it before the fight. So, you know, I wouldn't put too much stock in the top control, but for this fight, that was the number one thing, and that's what I really... I was pleased with Rose Nama Yunus, because, I mean, she's really good wrestling, and she's shown that in the past, but this fight was probably one of her better showings. Amanda Ribas didn't look that bad. So going into this fight, I really didn't think Amanda Ribas had much of a shot. I thought, you know, she's actually, when she fights at 125, she's more of a blown-up 125er instead of a true one. But here she kind of showed that, you know, she does belong with some of the better fighters. She didn't really... Yeah, she... I don't want to say she didn't, like, win most of the fight, but she had some really good moments. You know, that spinning back kick, first of all, to the body early on was money for her. And Rose said in her post-fight that she knew Amanda Ribas was going to come with that. And even though she knew, like, Rose Nama Yunus didn't quite pick it up just yet, Amanda Ribas managed to land a couple of them. And we eventually saw to where, you know, Amanda Ribas kept throwing to him. And that's the problem with Ribas, I feel like. She doesn't, Amanda Ribas doesn't have enough depth to her game, right? She's in there to brawl. She has a couple good techniques, like the spinning back kick, and she throws a good one too sometimes, but she's not quite deep enough. And her tricks, once you get past what her tricks are, the spinning back kick, the head and arm throw, you'll realize that, oh, I can get in here and I can start to pick her apart if I know what to avoid. And the last person you want to be like that against is like Rose Nama Yunus or Valentina Shevchenko. Those two gals are like great at making sure they don't make these mistakes. And you have to be a little more deeper than just what Amanda Ribas brought to the table. That head and arm throw, she kept trying it over and over and over and over. It was just, come on, do something different. I mean, that's a WMMA thing altogether. You'll see it all the time. They throw a head and arm throw, and they try and end up in side control. You never do. You never end in side control, because you either get swept over, counter swept, or they turn into you and plow through to end up on top. And if you're a woman who gets thrown by a head and arm throw and you don't get in side control, or you do get side controlled, cut you. Straight up. Because there's no reason that technique should still be working. Then again, Rose did get caught at the end of like round 4 or something with one. And Ribas, you know, managed to hold her there for a little while. I did like Amanda Ribas not kind of settling for the bad position she was getting off of these head and arm throws. So if you think she like rolled to a leg entanglement a couple times, it probably wasn't too... obviously, she would have cranked the leg lock if it was there. But it wasn't that. It was just kind of to scare Nama Yunus away. And it did its job. You know, Rose Nama Yunus kind of took a step back and reevaluated the position. But yeah, she ended up on top anyway. So, yeah, Amanda Ribas, I wasn't expecting much from her, and she delivered more than that. So, I can't be mad about that. As for what's next for Rose Nama Yunus, I like the trilogy fight with Jessica Andrade. Andrade is ranked 5th in women's flyweight. They are 1-1. Obviously, you had the head spike, and then you had Rose Nama Yunus' 3-round fight Jessica Andrade came out looking like Joe Frazier with the head moving up and down, and that didn't work. Rose Nama Yunus took the win. Then the call-out was Madame Furo versus Erin Blanchfield. They fight this upcoming weekend, which we'll be talking about next week. I don't like that. The winner's probably going to get a title shot, you know, so she said one of those two. So maybe the loser. I don't know. I don't really think that's the move, though. Macy Barber is the move at ranked number 4. With Barber being ranked 4th, she beat Caitlin Chookagian. I don't remember her new last name. I'm really sorry about that. But she's number 4. She needs a quality win, and Chookagian's not really that quality win. A win over Rose Namajunas, despite being the 115 champ and not the 125, would be a quality win. And that'd be a really good test for her, because Macy Barber, her striking's not great. Her ground and pound's not great, but she needs to prove that she can and be great where she wants to face either Alexa Grasso or Valentina Shevchenko, because those are two tall mountains to climb. And then, obviously, Caitlin Chookagian. Again, I'm sorry if I don't remember her new last name. She did get married. All contenders go through Caitlin Chookagian. Andrade beat her before she fought Shevchenko with that beautiful body shot. Grasso beat her, I believe. Furo and Blanchfield also both beat her. And then there's several, like Antonina Shevchenko and a couple of the fighters that were, like, not quite ready, so Chookagian kind of styled on them. Rose versus Chookagian be really fun. Rose could really shine on the feet and kind of show Chookagian what's what and show us if she's actually ready for those big names at 125. And Chookagian's ranked, what is it? She's ranked 6. So you got Barber at 4, Andrade at 3, or Andrade at 5. So Barber at 4, Andrade at 5, and then Caitlin Chookagian at 6. So that's what really makes sense to me. So yeah, co-main event, I really didn't pay too much attention to, but Carl Williams got the decision over Justin Taffa, despite Taffa kind of getting the win, or despite Taffa putting him in danger, I should say. But Edmund Shahbazyan was back, you know, there's the yin and yang. You got Ronda Rousey's nothing but grappling and no striking. Edmund Shahbazyan's nothing but striking and nothing, you know, grappling. Obviously, same camp. He took on 7-2 AJ Dobson, which kind of seemed like a weird one, but not really a terrible one. So Edmund Shahbazyan has shown in the past, you know, he struggled ever since his come up. He had some good wins since joining the UFC. He fought Darren Stewart on the Ultimate Fighter finale. After coming in on the Contender Series, is he still with Edmund Tard? No, he's at Extreme Couture now. Nice. Anyway, so he fought his way up, beat Brad Tavares with a knockout left head kick, which was, you know, not many people knocked Brad Tavares out. So then he lost to Derek Brunson, Jack Hermanson, and Nasruddin Imavov. Three really good fighters. Got another win over DeLuca something. I don't even remember that fight. That was at UFC 282. Lost to Fluffy Hernandez, which a lot of people do. No shame in that, especially now we know what Anthony Hernandez is. And then this past weekend over AJ Dobson. What is going on with his gut? That is so weird. He's got like ribs that are like at his navel. It's HGH gut, maybe? I don't know. I don't want to accuse him of that, no, but he does have a weird rib cage. It pokes out really far. I don't understand it. AJ Dobson did land too much on Edmund Shahbazyan. I really felt like, you know, Shahbazyan wasn't sound defensively. But he did manage to, you know, get to the rear naked choke position a couple times. He drug him to the ground, kind of gave up bad position. He fought his way out of it. He was looking for the rear naked choke because obviously we believe him to be a striker and he's going to want to get that rear naked choke win. Has he ever gotten one before? That's my question. He's 13-4, one win by submission. 8% of his wins are that. So which one was that? That was Jack Marshman back in 2019. So yeah, that's before his fall. But he's on a 2-4 run. But this win over AJ Dobson, you know, we need to grow him a little slower. Give him the Sean O'Malley treatment. He's young. He got in the UFC young. He's only 26. So there's a lot of time for this kid. But, you know, he got landed on too much. AJ Dobson did manage to hurt him. But he squared up. He wanted to show his grappling off. He squared up and he managed to put away AJ Dobson, dropped him just in the pocket, just throwing with him, and really good showing for him. You know, it doesn't answer the gas tank problem because that's Edmund Shahbazyan's problem. Is he a gas tank fighter or is his gas tank improved? We don't know yet. He needs to be hitting the treadmills, and the more first round finishes he gets, the more time he can work on that cardio. That said, he also needs to go out there and prove to himself he can go 4, 3, 4, 5 rounds. Yeah, so let's see what else was on this card. I have Peyton Talbot had a fantastic win over Cameron Simon. That was really fantastic. The one I was actually most excited for was the return of Yusef Zalal. He took on Billy Quarantillo short notice. So Quarantillo was supposed to fight Gabriel Miranda, and Zalal had been cut a while back. So he went on a 0-3-1 run against Topuria. That's no big deal. Sungwoo Choi, okay. Sean Woodson, okay. And then the draw against Jamon Blackshear, and he was cut. I'm like, oh, man, that kind of sucks, because Yusef Zalal is a really good kickboxer. He has some good wins over names like Austin Lingo and Peter Barrett. You know, those aren't fantastic wins, but those are good enough wins. He just ran into the future featherweight champion, you know, and Sean Woodson, who's lanky and tough to deal with. So he managed to put off a couple wins. What is that? 1, 2, 3 wins, and then a boxing and kickboxing fight. So, you know, He was active, and the kickboxing box I love because, like, he's not putting his record at risk. So that's fantastic. You get some work in. But he took on Billy Q, okay? And I was excited. I'm like, man, this guy's a threat. He can really beat Billy Q. I like it. I like it a lot. Let's go Yusef Zalal. And sure enough, he is back. Kickboxing was fantastic. He's Moroccan. Moroccos are known for their kickboxing, so that's like not a surprise at all. That's par of the course. You know, he has really good. He switches stances, 1-2 right down the middle. He's crisp, and he finds good angles to punch at, and that's really kind of Yusef Zalal's game. I think I'm gonna do a video on him next. So I've got the Alex Pereira coming. We'll talk about that before the podcast is over. But the inside and outside trip is a new wrinkle we had added to Yusef Zalal's game since we last saw him. And that was, when did he last fight? Let's see. When did he last fight in the UFC? That Jamon Blackshear was in 2022, so 19 months away. The inside and outside trip from the clinch, you know, you don't have to be like a blast double guy. You can find these sweeps in there. And Henry Cejudo was great at this, the inside leg trip from the clinch position against fighters that were more athletic than him, which is very few, basically just Demetrius Johnson. But he showed this, and he managed to go in there and like start to maul Billy Q, hurt him, and he got him to the ground off that. And then in the second round, he managed to sink in the rear naked choke. So, yeah, I really like Yusef Zalal. I think he was a good fighter. Shouldn't have never been cut, and I'm happy to see him back. Fernando Padilla beat Luis Pojuelo. Trey Ogden beat my boy Kurt Hollaball. Kurt is from Louisiana. He just couldn't get the win, man. Like, he was pressuring Trey Ogden to the fence, doing all the right things. But then he would just square up, and Ogden would shoot at his hips. You know, and just stay on top. He couldn't do it. And at the end of the fight, they were talking back and forth. He said, you can't submit me, yada, yada. It was kind of a cool moment, but, like, you're losing, man. We got to get you up. I mean, he can't submit you, but you can't get up, Kurt. Yeah, Kurt's 37. And, you know, he's a good fighter, man, but he's 37, you know. His coach goes to the gym I work out at. I'd like to go back to jiu-jitsu with him. But his coach goes there. And, you know, the Gracie United guys, Chef is his name. He goes by Chef. I forget his real name. But we sit in the sauna on Saturdays and just, you know, shoot the bull about fighting. And, you know, he said his life situation's improved since his last UFC run. And, you know, he got the win over Austin Hubbard to win the Ultimate Fighter. And I hope he gets a couple wins, man. I really do, because that'd be great. I'd like to see, you know, Kurt Hollaball come out and do the thing. Let's go through this real quick before I get to our last little thing. Julian Arosa got the win over Ricardo Ramos and then said he wanted to fight Leah Thomas, which was weird. Miles Johns, great fighter, never fights enough. Beat Cody Gibson. Cody needs to be cut. He's 19-10 now. Wow, that's a horrible record. 2 on the trot to Katona and Miles Johns. He might not come back. Jarno Ahrens beat Steven Wynn. The Russian chick beat Montserrat Hendon. The one I want to talk about, I'm going to skip. Muhammad Usman lost to Mick Parkin, praise be. And then the last one, Andre Lima versus Igor Severino. It's a really cool graphic right here. Andre Lima won because Igor Severino he bit him on the arm. Like, seriously, look at this picture. It's wild. Dude got bite marks in it. He tried to tell the ref, no, I didn't bite. It was a DQ win for Andre Lima. You never want to win like that, you know. It kind of sucks, but you got the win and you remained undefeated. And I thought Severino was winning that fight, too. So it was kind of like a weird situation. But DQ win. Dana White said he's going to get a bonus for this, and then he went and got a tattoo of his arm where he got bit. He put the teeth mark and I effing got bit bonus is what he put there. And Dana White said, you know what, we're doubling it. He's getting 50K, which was okay. I'm happy he's got the money, but like, it's weird, man. Just give all the fighters this. How about that? You know, and then they did the right thing and they cut Igor Severino. Like, you can't bite, man. They should have cut Priscilla Cachoeira right after she tried to gouge out Jillian Robertson's eyes. Jack Slack posted that on Twitter, that the fact that they didn't. And Priscilla Cachoeira is probably the worst fighter on the roster. So, you know, I was happy for Severino. I'm happy for Lima, and I'm happy Severino got cut. So, that's the gist of that. UFC Vegas 89 was a fun card. So, I've got a video coming out about Alex Pereira. It's going to be a film study to where if you like Alex Pereira and you want to know what makes him tick, because he's very meat and potatoes, that will be coming out hopefully on April 1st. April Fools, it won't be up then. No, I'm kidding. It'll be out April 1st. Hopefully. I've got a lot of work to do on it. I got script to write and clips to cut. But we can do it. We got time and we can do it. So in the meantime, check out this video right here. I'm going to force sumo wrestling down your throat with Midori Fuji, a film study on him comparing to what he does, on the mat compared to what his teammates do. And we talk about why he's able to do that as a smaller guy and why does he have these tools? So yeah, anyways, guys, I'm out. I'm going to catch you. Check this video because it's great. It's fantastic. So yeah, guys, I'm out. Go ahead and get at this video. It's fantastic and you will love it. Sumo wrestling is the best and you have to give in.